Get on Team Shaq with WynnBET. We're playing parlays, boosting odds, and laying the wildest prop bets. Don't miss another game. Download the WynnBET sports betting app today.
Sign up today and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 first-time wager on a straight bet or parlay. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
What's up, Marlins fans? Jeremy Taché here. Before we get into the content of this episode, as the Marlins are wrapping up their road trip in Pittsburgh starting this evening, I want to talk to you about our sponsor that has been with us for 2 months now. It's Symbol. Remember, Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to trade sports teams like stocks and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Symbol's blended sports and the stock market to offer you a new way to invest and to profit off your favorite teams without all the high fees and high losses of gambling. You can use your sports knowledge and specifically your knowledge of the Marlins to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. You can join me and the 2,000 plus early adopters who've started to invest in their favorite teams. I'll tell you guys this, I invested in the Marlins and they have gone up and down this season as their record has, but they're higher now than when I initially invested. So in order to be able to do this, all you have to do is visit www.symbol.app or visit the link in our description, symbol.app/swings. That's symbull.app/swings to create a free account when you deposit. And make sure to use the promo code SWINGS for a $10 deposit bonus to buy yourself a share of the Sim Marlins or any other Sim team. Again, symbol.app and use the promo code SWINGS for a $10 deposit bonus to help build your portfolio. Symbol.app. Start investing in your favorite teams so that when they win, you win. Now let's get to the show. Hello, Marlins fans, and welcome to another episode of Swings and Mishes. I am your co-host and producer, Jeremy Taché, joined as always by Craig Mish. Craig, how you doing on this Thursday morning?
Well, I would have been doing a lot better had we not have to go to some Spanish talk tonight, but kind of where we're at. Five losses in a row, never want to have to record on podcast day. With the longest losing streak of the season, that's for sure. But that's kind of where we're at, so we'll break it all down.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we've, I think, a few different times this season tried to avoid losing streaks and let the Marlins come back. But now here, as the Marlins are riding a five-game losing streak, obviously the offense has continued to sputter, although last night they woke up and hit a few home runs in Buffalo. Craig, as the Marlins continue to lose these games here and sort of fall, you know, a number of games here below 500, what are your thoughts on everything that's been happening over the last week or so?
Yeah, well, first of all, in terms of last night's game, look, they definitely should have won the game, but that Buffalo Park, and even Don Mattingly said it last night, I mean, you're just not going to see that outside of like Coors, maybe right. Chase Field in Arizona. And I'm not saying that the home runs that they hit last night were fraudulent, but it was very clear that the ball was flying out. So, you know, I'd only anticipate them hitting four home runs every game. And nonetheless, if you hit four home runs in a game, you would assume you would win and there'd be a man on base here or there. And that didn't happen. So look, I think that naturally there are a lot of people who are fans that are going to be very upset, as they probably should be. They're sliding kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say they're out of wild card contention, but it's almost at that point. Like they're just chasing way too many teams here in June and they just keep falling behind. Like, I mean, if you're looking behind the Marlins and you're only seeing Arizona and Colorado and Washington, like, I mean, you have to be realistic and think like, wow, they have to climb over all of these teams to get in that wild card. There's not an extra wild card this year. So the path is the division. And normally, you know, when we do these, you know, I'll sort of like be a prisoner of the moment a little bit, because I know that we're taping a podcast for when people are going to listen in the next 24 hours, which would be June 3rd, June 4th. But I am going to reserve a lot of the judgment for the season for about a week. I'm going to wait a little bit longer. There are, I mean, most people who cover the game will tell you that Memorial Day is pretty much the benchmark. And 75% of the teams that are in the postseason right now are going to make the postseason. That's just the way it is once you get to Memorial Day. These are facts. Now, Washington proved that wrong a couple of years ago. They just kind of came back out of nowhere and won the World Series. Right. But generally speaking, that's where you're going to be at. You know who you are on Memorial Day. I think the Marlins, you got to extend that one more week because while they have lost five games in a row, they can only play, as the cliche says, who's on the schedule. Mm-hmm. And coming up, you have, and I know there's a game with Boston in between, but they have games against Pittsburgh and Colorado. And I watched the game as closer than anybody. And those two teams are bottom five teams in baseball. Yep. And if you have any plans to compete, you got to take care of those teams. Yeah, I don't care, home or road, you have to win those games. So I think that, you know, they'll play Atlanta next weekend at home. And you know, certainly that could go one way or the other. They could win two out of three, lose two out of three, sweep, not sweep. And I know division games, Jeremy, are going to be simply very important because that's going to be their path, it looks like, to the postseason. But after playing Colorado and Pittsburgh for the next week, seven games, like you pretty much have to go 5-2 or 6-1 or something like that to make believers out of people this season. Like you go 3-4 or 2-5 against those teams.
Yeah.
I think at that point, Jeremy, you got to call it what it is. And that to me would be a team that at that point, I would not believe they will make the postseason. So I'm going to wait one more week. I want to see how that plays out. They could be back to 500 by the time they get back to that Braves series next weekend. So I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment today. I'm going to let that play out.
Well, and that's, I think, the right perspective to take when you look at what's ahead on this schedule. Like you said, these teams can only play who's ahead of them. And the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are two good teams. Now, should you be going 0-4 in those games? Absolutely not. And not in the way in which they lost with the lack of offensive performance, with the blown save last night. But you're right, as they go ahead and play four games here against Pittsburgh and three games against Colorado, over these next eight straight games, the Marlins do need to make up some ground on the other teams within their division before going into that weekend series against the Braves. So that's sort of the key here for the Marlins, is beat up on the teams that you are actually better than at this point. This is not, you know, the quote unquote bottom feeder Marlins of a few years ago that everybody made those jokes about, right? If you want to show you're competitive, this is the time to do it and take advantage of those level of teams. But the real question is, are the Marlins really still in it? Obviously, we're reserving, you know, judgment on the whole season until, a week from now and maybe on our next podcast. But the conversation becomes, can the Marlins stay in it long term this season?
I think for the division, they can, because they have so many games against the division that it is plausible. But again, going back to the wild card, you'd be foolish in trying to kid yourself that they're going to climb over seven teams in the last 3 months, because those teams are going to play each other also, Jeremy, and finish 500 essentially against each other. They're digging a very big hole in that respect. And between San Francisco, San Diego, and Los Angeles, I mean, look, there's a really good chance that all three of those teams get in, and that's the end of the story in the National League. And the Cubs have actually played much better than I would have anticipated this year too. So it's not insurmountable, but realistically speaking, if they were, let's say, seven or eight games out of the wild card, but they were in the second position and they didn't have to jump a lot of teams, then I think I'd feel differently about it. But to this point, from what I have seen, I think those three teams that I've mentioned, San Francisco, San Diego, and Los Angeles, are all better than the Marlins. And I think the Cubs have played better than the Marlins have. So that's going to be tough. But I do think, again, the division is certainly there for the taking. They're just going to have to win virtually all of those head-to-head games against New York and Atlanta and Philadelphia. And even Washington's now playing okay. So, I mean, look, the Marlins are a couple of losses away from being behind Washington. Like that's the truth, too. So, it's just kind of where they're at. The division, to me, has got to be the path. And that's a tough path as well.
Yeah, I mean, the NL East, we were talking about it headed into the season as maybe the best division in baseball. Now, everybody's been banged up. There have been some teams that have underachieved thus far. But that is a tough division when you're playing teams with the lineups that you've seen in the National League and some of those starters across those rotations. And speaking of starters on rotations, we've been talking about Sixto Sanchez basically since the spring as to, all right, when are we going to see Sixto? When are we going to see Sixto? Last week, we talked about him as, you know, a possible trade deadline acquisition. And then there was a setback with his shoulder last week as well in his throwing program where he had to pause it. So, Craig, where do things stand at the moment with Sixto Sanchez?
Yeah, this is a really, really tough one for me personally. And it goes back to kind of, I think, just the inability to sort of get in front of people all year and for about a year. And I want to be clear, like, I think that most reporters who cover teams have to have relationships where they can call and text. Don't get me wrong. But because it's, I just simply haven't been able to, like, have, like, personal private conversations as much as I would have wanted to, I just don't feel like I have a good bead on what's going on with Sixto Sanchez. And I've talked about this a little bit prior. I have asked questions going on a year now, even going back to spring training last year. Is he in shape? Is he not in shape? What do you think? And I just don't feel like I have a great idea as to what is really going on. I just don't. And I have to be transparent with that. And I'll continue to try and continue to try to get answers. Yes, I do text. Yes, I get text, but I mean, I was getting text last week, like, he's fine, like, everything is fine. And obviously that's not the case. And then, you know, on the other day in the media, he's shut down, but, you know, he'll resume his throwing program in a few days. I mean, okay, like, if that happens, great. So if not, like, what are we supposed to do at that point? Say that was wrong too? Like, it's just a big mystery to me on this player. It's not like that on every player. I usually get answers and it's pretty easily received, but he's a franchise type player. And he was part of a very big trade. And sometimes, unfortunately, with this organization, I feel like optics sometimes are more important than facts. I mean, it's just true. I just feel like the way that things are viewed may be more important than the way that they actually are. And I personally would just like to know the way that they actually are and cover it that way. But I can't get the proper answers on him. Do I think he could pitch this season? Sure. Do I think he may not pitch this season? Sure. I don't know. I don't know the answer. And he's clearly not the best trade deadline acquisition in the league. No. What they said last week, and this week he's not throwing. So you have to hope he can pitch at some point this season. And then if he doesn't resume throwing in a few days, I think you have to ask yourself the question, like, what's the point? Just get this guy healthy for 2022. What is the rush? That's kind of the way I view it. And it's been really, really tough to get proper information on this guy. I'll leave it at that.
And with where the schedule is, with where the record is, it is that timing of, like, you know what, if the next couple of weeks, or specifically this week, like we talked about, don't go the way that the Marlins sort of need them to, it does make you wonder, is it worth rushing him back for any sort of regular season baseball this year? Or do you just sort of let it ride and wait to see Sixto again in 2022?
If you don't have players on the field with the right skills, whether it's breakaway speed or elite playmaking ability, you're going to have a tough time winning. The same goes for your business. Indeed is a fast, simple way to make sure you're hiring MVPs. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through April 30th. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applicants that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Go to Indeed.com/BlueWire to claim your $75 credit before April 30th. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I know you have one other topic to touch on. We'll do that when we wrap up. But before we do that, let's go ahead and preview this weekend series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Obviously, you will see a start from Trevor Rogers, the back-to-back NL Rookie of the Month winner, Trevor Rogers. But what do you expect from the Marlins as we see their starting pitching and their lineup head into Pittsburgh this weekend?
Yeah, people don't like tanking teams. I understand that. The Pirates made a lot of poor trades Previously, Neil Huntington was their general manager. He's been replaced by Ben Cherington. I'm a big fan of his. Yep. I'm a big fan of their manager, Derek Shelton. The one fortunate thing, and this is kind of what we'll transition to, but the one fortunate thing is that since I get access to all of the Zooms, and I use a lot of that stuff on my daily show on Sports Grid, I like the direction. I understand what the Pirates are doing. They're basically saying, hey, it's time to start over and start from the beginning. This team is not good at all. You could make the case the Pirates have the least talent on the field right now in Major League Baseball. Like, you easily can. I think Baltimore may have more talent than Pittsburgh, honestly, even with them losing 14 games in a row or whatever it was. Arizona's obviously dreadful, but they've had so many bad injuries. They got another one with Bumgarner now too. Look, I mean, the Pirates are just, they're starting over. They're doing what the Marlins did a few years ago. And their young prospect, it's like imagine your top young prospect just doesn't play. And that's what Ke'Bryan Hayes hasn't played. He looked so good at the end of last year, looked great on opening day. And he's been out. Their bullpen's been okay. They have a pretty good closer. If they have a lead, maybe they'll win. This guy, Richard Rodriguez, is probably a trade candidate, I would think, at some point. Mm. A very typical rebuild situation, bereft of talent, bereft of run scoring, bereft of pitching, where Miami should win 3 out of 4 with their eyes closed if you're good. And then they'll play Boston on Monday, and who knows how that will go. And then they play the Rockies here, and the Rockies have never played well here. Never. No. Like, Miami has crushed them, whether they've been good, bad, or ugly. Yep. And they're missing their best player too. So it's like, I mean, this should be a pretty easy. I mean, it's not going to look
Let's
easy.
Hope it's a fun week, right? I mean, let's just hope it's
fun.
A fun
I don't
week.
Know. I mean, it won't be very much fun if they don't come out of there is winning, but there are no excuses at all if you don't smash in the next week. And then we'll see what happens against Atlanta. So that's where I'm at with that. And again, they'll be back at home next week, and I'll be there against the Rockies for sure.
Yeah, you know, a team is in a full rebuild mode when people who cover the game, I'm someone who covers the game, and half that roster is no names to me. I mean, it's people that most casual fans around Major League Baseball have probably not heard of. And so before we wrap up this episode, Craig, I know you wanted to touch on something in the way that we are covering the Marlins and the way that baseball is covered this season. So if you wanted to do that before we wrap up.
Yeah, and I do want to add something to this, like as an example of one of the other examples, like talking about Sixto Sanchez. It's like, so when you get to cover a team in person and in spring training and in a clubhouse, you generally put your face in front of someone and then develop relationships. And I feel like of all the things that I do with covering, I feel like that and my ability to like listen, ask good questions, do good interviews, I think that those are the strong points. And whether or not I get information and break news is sort of irrelevant to me to the conversation, because it all stems from developing relationships and getting to know people. And to me, getting in front of people in baseball is more of a thing than it is in the other sports, NFL, NBA. It just is. A lot of that, of course, and in baseball, it works through the agents and it works through the league. Like, I get it. But for me, developing those relationships is very important. And so as an example, with Corey Dickerson just having a dreadful season, only hitting his second home run last night, like looking basically like Sierra Endeavors at the plate, a guy who's going to hit 280 and get on base sometimes and not hit home runs. It's like they got three guys already in this lineup that are like that. Why is this happening to Corey Dickerson? Well, I don't know, because and it's not that the Marlins have avoided making him available. They have not. It's just, I mean, I just haven't talked to him all year, or for the most part, almost the whole year. And so he hits a home run, and then he does the post game, and then, you know, it comes down to the end. Of course, I'm the last one asking the question, waiting and waiting and waiting. I don't think I was last on that one, though. So I'll ask, and Corey Dickerson basically, you know, he reveals that he's going through some stuff. And then I press him a little bit further just to say, hey, is it physical? Because I've heard that he was hurt also, by the way, physically, too. And he said that his father, is going through something, and he said it's very tough to be focused. It's tough to, you know, have his mind at the, I mean, and then that all adds up. It's like, now I took, cause I've been there, you know, like I understand what that means, and it, pass or no pass, that's not what it's about. It's just getting a better understanding for what is actually going on. And that has just been taken away from us, from me. It just has been taken. And so it's you know, like Anthony Bass is another good example of that. Like, yeah, I mean, I have contacts that can tell me what's going on with him or not. I've never been in front of Anthony Bass.
Yeah.
He's been here 2 years. Right. Like, I've never stood in front of this person. So, you know, that's what makes... Now, that's changing a little bit. They're allowing, I think, media to go in like the first row before the games. But, you know, and that's better for sure. But it's still not my expertise. It's
not
still
the not same.
What, yeah, it's just not. Like, it's just not. And I'm not making any excuses for my coverage, but that just kind of leads me to this. There's like a section of people who are going to be overly negative, and there are a section of people who are going to be overly positive. And I see some of this happening now on social media. The good thing is that there's a lot of interest. And so whether it's negative or positive, it's good that my mentions, as they would say, are filled up with people who are just saying one thing or the other. And right. A lot of it also comes to me about, why aren't you asking this? And, you know, what's going on with this and what's going on with that? And I want to say that, yeah, while I feel humbled that I am the person that everyone is coming to ask these questions, like, there are other people that cover the team. You know, like, I can't sit here and tell you that I can accomplish every single thing that people want accomplished on a Zoom call or even texting. Like, it's very hard. Like, I feel like I am the go-to person, and I'm humble for that, and I appreciate that. But unfortunately, the way that the team is sort of covered is not the way that other teams are covered. I mean, I just got to put it point blank. I watch every, I mean, maybe, I don't know how it is, but I watch every Zoom. Again, I get access to these things. And a lot of times, especially in losses, you're not getting the answers. And I understand that. And that's frustrating, but we just, for whatever reason, myself included, I'll put myself in that category, are a lot softer than the other teams are covered. It's just a fact. I watch them all. I watch the questions. I watch the answers. And for whatever reason, that is just the way it is when it comes to covering the Marlins. I've said before sometimes that when the team loses, if you didn't watch the game, sometimes you may not know if they lost. And that's horrible. It should never be like that. And so sometimes on post games, you may watch it on TV. You can see like who's asking questions and who's not. And I know that people have asked me to ask different questions in post games and things like that. A lot of times, honestly, Jeremy, in wins, I'm not there.
Right.
Because it's easy. It's like, you won. You're great. You're amazing. Yep. This guy's great. He's phenomenal. He's fantastic. I love you. You love me. Let's all hug it out. I don't need to be there for that. It's the easy part of the job. The hard part of the job is to get their answers, you know? So it's like, maybe it's viewed as me being negative, which is not the case. It's just like, I know that if I don't jump on after a loss, or sometimes after a loss the following day, then my coverage is hurt because people are not getting the answers that they really need. Mm. And I do take that responsibility seriously. I try to do the very best that I can, but it is just the nature of the way that the team is covered. I don't know why that is. I'm not really sure. You guys can come to your own assumptions and answers with that. But I basically am doing the most I feel that I can do to get what the section of social media and the section of fans that text me and people around the game, by the way, outside around the game that aren't on them, asking like, why is this not happening? What is going on with here? Is this guy a good coach? Do you think this is working? Do you think this is not working? This is all day long for me, all day long. And I'm doing everything that I can as far as trying to get these answers for you. But unfortunately, you know, I'm just in the losses, I'm there for you guys, 'cause I know that everybody wants answers. In the wins, it's something that I don't feel as strongly that I need to do, because I feel like all the information is going to come out. But I'll continue to pound it. I'll continue to do what I do. But you have to understand that I am not the only one covering the team. And if the answers don't come in the way that you want, you're better off messaging other people and not me, because I'm doing the best that I can.
And you know what, guys? I'll be one of those people for you. I'm on these Zoom calls as well on most of them. And you know what? I'll be honest. I haven't jumped in and asked those difficult questions whatsoever this season so far. This is in covering a team on Zoom, I've experienced it now. I experienced it with the Panthers. I experienced it with the Heat. It does change the ability to make those human connections that we talk about, just to be able to read the room, to theoretically, as Corey Dickerson is struggling this season, just walk up and say, "Hey, Corey, how you doing?" You know, those little conversations that get to happen that allow for more complete coverage from us and the ability to sort of comfortably ask some of those maybe not so positive questions. And so as
and by the way, it's not about positive or negative. It's that, and like what I would like to convey to anybody who is listening to this is really simple and just for in a very granular level when it comes to this. And maybe it's because I feel like I cover the team impartially, so I just don't care. Like I have no fear whatsoever of asking any question. But I would also tell you this, like there are people in sports that are harder to interview than others. And sure, I think that definitely plays a factor with some coverage of different. I mean, like, is it easy to ask questions to Bill Belichick? You get nothing. Like, I mean, I get that. Like there's that sort of intimidation there, and I can't speak to how he's covered in New England. But I know, and Nick Saban in Alabama, it's going to be tough. Like, it is not going to be easy. College teams are much tougher. You know, it's but look who you're dealing with. You're dealing with Don Mattingly.
I'm like the nicest guy in the world.
The nicest, like there is no reason why you should not unearth every single piece of information on this team. Like, just there's ask just no him. Reason. And not only that, not only is Don Mattingly the nicest guy in the world, he played in New York.
Right.
I mean, he was ripped for having a mustache or not having, like, these are the sort of things that went on in New York. And then he was destroyed in Los Angeles for almost two years, last 2 years there.
Like, yeah, this is cakewalk.
There should be nothing, whether it's a win or loss, that should ever be uncovered. There's no reason to give Don Mattingly a cupcake post game and then ask a question. Like, let's get what we need. So it stinks. It does. Yeah. It stinks. I don't find the post games enjoyable. I just don't, because I don't feel like I'm doing my job. I feel like I'm not getting the, I personally have to do a better job for those of you who are listening and follow us to get the answers that you need. I am responsible. I hold myself accountable for that. So any complaining that I'm making, I got to look in the mirror and I got to do a better job. But if you're going to ask me and say, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Look, you have to ask some other people too. Like, I mean, come on, guys, please. Like, I'm not the only one that's there. So that's my subject on that.
A little self-reflection before we head into this weekend series against the Pirates. Everybody, you know, sort of ready to win this weekend.
One other thing that I do want to mention also by this is that privately, what I'm saying in terms of the coverage and the way that the things go, you know, sort of after games, wins, like, everyone feels the same way. Everyone feels the same way within that organization, outside of that organization. They feel that it's soft. These are facts. I am not making this up. People that I have spoken to. So just want to be clear on that. This is not just my voice on this. So
Well, as we do head into this weekend series against the Pirates, hopefully it's just all wins and we don't even have to think about these post-game press conferences after losses as we head into this weekend. So it's the Marlins and the Pirates. For those of you who are listening here, we are now powered by Blue Wire Podcast. You know that already. But be sure to go show them some support. Go ahead and follow Blue Wire on Twitter and every other social media platform. You can follow us at Swings and Mishes on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Jeremy Taché. Craig is at Craig Mish. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Refollow, resubscribe, write your reviews, everything you're supposed to do with a podcast. Give us some love and enjoy this weekend series as the Marlins take on the Pirates in Pittsburgh.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? Your phone is blowing up with notifications, you have commitments to friends and family, and not to mention work. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. It's a crisp and refreshing beer that even tells you it's cold when the mountains on the bottles and cans turn blue. When I need to hit reset, I grab a Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to coorslight.com/bluewire. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.